until about 3:30 a.m., the final session for this second conclave of the Interim National Board of Pacifica. Your anchor, Larry Bensky, comes to you now.
Welcome to a special edition of Sunday Salon, Pacifica Radio's weekly look at the sane and the inane, the normal and the abnormal, and all stages in between. I'm Larry Bensky with you at this time every week. And this week, with you from Los Angeles, where the Interim Pacifica National Board is now having its second meeting since it was constituted late last year and early this year to try to rebuild this network. And today on this program, we're going to spend all 2 hours talking about Pacifica, where it's been, where it's going, and where it needs to go. Most of these 2 hours are going to consist, as this program always consists, of listener phone-ins from around the country. We have a toll-free 800 number, so if you have questions, comments, insights, congratulations, criticisms, think about them for about 10 or 15 minutes and then state them to us. It's a great honor and privilege to begin this broadcast by talking with Leslie Kagan, who is the interim chair of the Interim Pacifica National Board, which has been meeting here since Friday night. We had a meeting all day yesterday, which was broadcast on some of these same stations. And there are many key items, of course, on the agenda, Leslie Kagan, and I know you've got to go next door to that meeting and begin to chair it momentarily, so we won't keep you too long here, but I just want to ask one question about the past and one question about the future, and then we'll let you go. About the past, the auditor's report which you commissioned after the Pacifica National Board had revealed no statistics of any kind about our finances for a year and a half or more. You, when you came in, quickly commissioned a report from a qualified auditing firm. And they basically said that the old Pacifica Board had burned through money at a prodigious rate, gone through something like $6 million, and put us in a huge financial hole. And this, of course, I'm sure has preoccupied you, the other board members, and our interim executive director and assistant executive director, who, by the way, will be our guest during the second hour today. What's your current insight that you can give to the listeners about where we are on the finances, and is this going to be... is debt going to be so big for an organization that's only, what, an $11 million a year organization?
Right.
Is this going to be so big that it really threatens to put us out of business?
Right. Let me, first of all, thank you for having me on this morning and welcome the listeners to this really, really important discussion. Just very quickly, though, two factual things. I'm the chair of the interim board. I'm not an interim chair. I'm the chair of the interim board. The other thing is, actually, this is our fourth meeting. It's our second in-person full weekend meeting. We did have two conference call meetings. The finances are a very, very big item. As you said, there's a tremendous debt. It's upwards of about $5 million, scattered in or broken down into a number of different areas, over $2 million to really high-priced law firms and PR firms and et cetera, et cetera. And then other breaks down throughout the system where money was basically raised at the five stations and then taken by the national structure. So now to pay law firms, et cetera. So now each of the five stations was found itself in debt where most of them didn't, actually all of them, had no debt before this crisis. So we are consumed, as you said. At the same time, we are very, very optimistic. Four of our five stations had very, very successful fund drives just recently, and the fifth station is going into fund drive this week. We, in several of those places, I think at least three, records were broken, all-time highs in terms of income. People have to understand that while a tremendous amount of money was raised in these fund drives, not all of it goes to pay debt. Some goes to pay debt, and some is being held so that we don't go further into debt. So rent and salary and electric bills get paid in an orderly fashion from here on out. It's going to take a while. We have to do major fundraising, not only on air, but events and direct mail and asking rich people to kick in. Anybody rich people listening right now, please open up your checkbooks. But we are actually optimistic. Yes, it is. It is almost a half of our usual annual budget. But the fact that we are turning around this network and rebuilding it and redefining the role of these five stations in these very troubled times that we live in, both in this country and worldwide, the audience is there and the audience is responding and the constituency is there. We will deal with this debt.
We who fundraise on the air and, you know, do this out of the depths of our hearts and souls as much as we can, telling people all the time that this is alternative broadcasting, that every dime you send we stretch as far as possible, felt deeply betrayed, of course, by the actions of the past national board and taking this money from listeners and spending it on things that clearly very few, if any, listeners would have authorized had they had a choice. Can you now guarantee anybody listening that if they write a check to Pacifica to fulfill their pledge or make a new pledge or, as you say, make a significant tax-deductible donation, that that money is going to go to fulfill Pacifica's broadcasting mission and not to pay some shark law firm that has its teeth into our flesh?
Yeah, yes. What we have made a commitment to do is that money raised in each of the five signal areas through their fund drives is staying in control, it's being controlled by those stations. Now, we also have to do fundraising to pay some of these big debts, some of the really large debts to these law firms and PR firms and some. We are negotiating with them. We've hired a lawyer to negotiate with them to try and bring down some of those bills. We will have to ask some people, though, to contribute specifically toward that. But people who make a general donation because they like the sound of their local station, that money will be earmarked and used to meet the needs of that station. What we've also set into place, though, is a system, and the kinks are still being worked out, where information is shared between the stations and the National Finance Office. So should we find one part of the network has a lot of money and another part needs some money, that we can approach that station that has more money and say, can we borrow it? And we keep actual records of money that's being borrowed and a payment plan to get it back to that station.
Yeah, one of the terrifying things of this, of course, is that records were not revealed by Pacifica, the previous board, over time, and then now, in many cases, seem to have disappeared. We're going to talk about that in a little while with Carol Spooner, who is now board secretary and was one of the architects of the listener's lawsuit. But I did say I'd let you go after two questions. I've already asked two, so I'll be a real journalist and ask a third about the future.
Yes.
Yesterday afternoon, a lot of time was spent on the beginnings of rewriting the bylaws of Pacifica, so that this organization would become, as you and others have pledged, democratic in the future and could not be usurped from the top down, as we saw happening, developing over the past 5-10 years and certainly big time over the last 3 years. What do you see this process doing? Because I think I and a lot of other people in the meeting and certainly people who are listening to this live podcast around the country got very confused by the process of drafting bylaws where you're trying for the maximum possible input, not trying to dictate things, but at the same time trying to keep some central presence in the process so it doesn't just spin out of control with the subcommittees of subcommittees.
Right. We actually couldn't even finish the work yesterday, and it will be taken up as the first order of business this morning. What we're aiming for, and what I believe we will achieve this weekend, is not the actual rewriting of the bylaws, but the establishment of a process that includes the members of the Interim National Board, the members of the local advisory boards at all five stations, as well as listeners at all five stations. Our major responsibility as a national board is to construct a process that is open and accountable and transparent and, most importantly, inclusive, that the varied voices are heard, That's not to say at the end of this process, 6 or so months down the road, that every single listener is going to like every single word in the bylaws that are adopted. But the voices will be heard. And that's what this process is all about. So establishing the process for many of us is almost as important as what the final result. It is as important as the final result and directly impacts on that. That's the challenge that we face. Let me just say one other quick thing.
Please.
Democracy doesn't happen because 15 members of an interim board decide we're going to create a democratic structure. It happens because people at these stations, our listeners, our lab members, as well as the volunteer programmers, the paid staff, everybody in the Pacifica community has to engage to the degree that they can. That's when democracy happens, when those varied voices all come to the table. It can be chaotic, but it can also be quite wonderful.
And you're used to this process, of course, Leslie, because you've been active in participatory organizations all your life, certainly since I first met you over 30 years ago. And we know that democracy can be a difficult and arduous process, but a commitment to it somehow shines through. And if we have good leadership and people of goodwill trying for it, perhaps we'll get there this time.
Well, we'll make our contribution. We hope everybody else does, too.
Leslie Kagan, chair of the Interim Pacifica National Board, must go outside and across the hall here, the courtyard, and chair the meeting, which is about to begin. Thank you for being with us, Leslie.
Okay, thank you.
But Carol Spooner has joined us at this time. Carol Spooner is secretary of the Pacifica Interim National Board. Her name may be familiar to those of you who followed this struggle, and incidentally, those of you who have not followed this struggle can catch up by spending about a week reading the website www.savepacifica.net. I know we're on the air today in Washington, D.C., and here in Los Angeles, stations that have been censored heavily over the course of the last few years, and any mention, except sometimes very one-sided mentions, of what's gone on behind the scenes has been kept from the listeners, which, of course, is especially outrageous on supposedly free speech radio stations. And people like me and many others were fired ostensibly for speaking out about this. We have now won the right to have free speech again, and one of the things that we expect our listeners to do is participate with us in a knowledgeable basis. So please do log on if you're interested in catching up to www.savepacifica.net. a website maintained by Friends of Free Speech Radio for over 3 years now, which chronicles all of the events that have happened in the course of this struggle. And in addition, has press clips of the hundreds of articles that have appeared about this struggle in all kinds of corporate and non-corporate media. Carol Spooner, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
Carol, as I mentioned, you were the person who took it upon herself when few others did or would to file one of the lawsuits against Pacifica on behalf of listeners. And at the beginning, there weren't very many of you who signed on to that. I remember you were getting an email when you were delighted that you'd gone over 100 names and then got to 300 names. Eventually, how many did it get to?
Over 10,000. We got it started off very quickly. Within probably a week, we had 100, and then it mushroomed from there. After the KPFA armed occupation in July of 99, things moved really very swiftly. I do want to emphasize that the California Attorney General, Bill Lockyer, supported us and sponsored the lawsuit, or it never would have gone forward. So we're very grateful to him, as well as the thousands of listeners across the country.
Glad you mentioned that. When I'm outside the gates of San Quentin Prison protesting against an execution being presided over by the Attorney General, I always try to remember that life is not one way, and that
complexities everywhere.
Complexities everywhere, and he was very supportive of us in this particular manner. Carol, yesterday and the day before, here at the board meeting in Los Angeles, we heard some horrific statistics about, and we were just talking about a little bit with Leslie Kagan, about what happened financially to this organization over the course of the usurpers taking away power from local people to be on the board and taking things private and secret and appointing each other, etc. And the bottom line is about $6 million disappeared very quickly over, what, about a six-month period. And before that, But before that, even more money. In any case, it's in the multi-millions.
That's right.
And a lot of people, when you tell them this, including yesterday when this was going on, people came up to me, and people said in the public comments period, you heard that, why can't we sue the bastard? Why can't we get this money back? Fact of the matter is, you did sue them, but you settled the lawsuit Does this indemnify any of the past directors or employees from any culpability, any financial responsibility, any criminal responsibility for that matter, for what they did?
There's a long and a short answer. We settled for $400,000 for all negligent acts of the board of directors over the past X number of years. We cannot sue them for failure to properly monitor or spend money of the foundation. However, if it were to be discovered that any of them pocketed the money for their own personal bank accounts, that's a criminal offense. That's embezzlement, and they are not released from liability for that. However, we've never found any evidence of that thus far.
You suspect that there might be such evidence that you might find later on? Is the investigation continuing?
I would hate to speculate. I don't have any. I really can't speculate.
The present Pacifica Board, by the way, for those who are listening, the interim Pacifica National Board is going to be in office for a period of 15 months, according to the legal settlement, from, I guess, January 1st, approximately, of this year. So sometime in next year, like March of next year.
End of March, our term should expire.
Right. And what you are doing, we were just talking to Leslie Kagan about it very, very diligently, is trying to figure out a process whereby local advisory boards first will be elected, as we have done already in Berkeley. We've had two elections, and now our local advisory board is completely elected there. In the other four signal areas, Washington, Houston, L.A., and New York, there'll be a process whereby local boards will be elected. And then do you foresee the national board would be elected by subscribers as well, or will it be like the local boards elect the national board, or how might that go?
Well, over the course of the next few months, Pacifica's bylaws need to be revised, and we need a national dialogue on the best way to safeguard Pacifica for the next 50 years, or at least 10.
We can, I'll settle for 10.
I mean, we can revise the bylaws. It can always be a work in process. But what we need to do is look at what went wrong, how this organization got hijacked by people who were not committed to its mission, and what is the best way to structure governance to preserve it. So there are many issues and different points of view about how to do that. Should directors be directly elected by the listeners? That's one possibility. Or some of the directors. Should directors be directly elected by the staff of our station? That's a question. It could be answered positively or negatively. Should the directors be elected by the local boards? There are many possible combinations. There are lots of opinions about it. I think we need a few months of a couple of months, we have to move fast, of an open mind to raise these issues, discuss the pros and cons of them, attempt in our best to make our best efforts to arrive at a conclusion that we think will protect the mission of the foundation and make the foundation accountable to somebody who's dedicated to its mission.
But one thing there seems to be unanimity about is that we should not have a system whereby a person or persons takes over, by whatever means the national board appoints their cronies to it, and then starts to figure out how they can manipulate the organization either for power and or profit. I think there's unanimity about that.
We have had quite a while a self-selecting national board of directors accountable to no one. And until the KPFA lab elections 2 years ago, we had self-selecting labs accountable to no one. And I want to emphasize that as well. And that system didn't work. There were no checks and balances. Information wasn't getting out to the listeners. There were grave crises going on in L.A., and their cries for help went unheeded, unheard, because there was no communication throughout the organization to exchange information and critically analyze the kinds of changes in direction that began actually early in this decade in 1992 at WPFW, where major programming changes were made.
And one thing that happened right away is even though these labs were, as you say, not democratically selected, they were, broadly speaking, many people in them on Pacifica mission and agreed with the Pacifica mission. And when they started challenging management here at KPFK, or at WBAI in New York, or WPFW in Washington, management stopped allowing them to meet in the stations. stopped announcing the meetings on the air. In the case of New York, had people arrested for trying to meet in their own station.
That's right. You know, the KPFK lab, since we're here in Los Angeles, I would like to mention that the KPFK lab was dissolved twice by the national board, once in, I believe, 1988, and actually it was frozen in 1995 because they became very concerned about the direction of the board. The same thing happened with the WPFW lab. So that was in the late 80s and early 90s when the first signs of a major shift in direction of Pacifica became visible to some. But because we didn't have a democratic organization that requires dialogue and discussion of policy matters and changes in direction, those incidents were isolated. I don't know if anybody at KPFA or WBAI, for instance, knew what happened to the WPFW lab or to the KPFK lab.
Very few people must have known. Carol Spooner, the Secretary of the Pacifica National Board. We're going to open our phones now nationwide. We have a toll-free number, 1-800-958-9008. Carol will be with us a while to help answer your questions or hear your comments. And incidentally, we're making duplicate tapes of this 2 hours of Sunday Salon today. We'll be providing them to all 14 of the present Pacifica Interim National Board members, those who are across the way, meeting right now, and three members did not attend this. Three members who used to be in the majority and are now in the minority didn't come to this LA meeting. We have, in fact, only one representative of that former majority, now minority, here, Marion Barry from Washington. But we'll provide all of them with tapes of these 2 hours so they can hear whatever it is that you have to say. And that's why we constructed this program this way today, so that it would be a way of you being heard by the Pacifica National Board, even though you're not able to be here in Los Angeles. If you are listening in Los Angeles, by the way, and you want to come to today's board meeting, we're at the Virgil Middle School, which is at Vermont and First Avenue. And there's plenty of free parking, it being Sunday. There's also major bus lines go up and down Vermont, and they run on Sunday. The meeting will be going on from now until around 1 p.m. today, with plenty of time for public comment. This is not the old Pacifica Board, where they reserve just an hour for public comment and everybody gets up and starts to leave on Sunday. By my count, there have been 55 people who have gone to the microphone already Friday night and yesterday and expressed themselves from all over the country here. And you'll be one of them, 1-800-958-9008. And we'll take your calls in the order as they are received. We'll take a brief musical break. We'll be right back.
Blair, did you need me to take...
Angeles, where we'll take your calls in the order received. Holly from New York is our first caller. Holly, welcome to Sunday Salon.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good.
Okay. My question is, I'm glad that I happened to tune in and you were talking about this. My question is about the bylaws. How will we be able to have input to them? And I also think it's very important not to rush them, because this is the document that will govern the future, whether it's for 10 years or for 50 years. You know, and it should be relatively concrete. I mean, flexible enough so, yes, they can be amended, but clear enough so that they're not that, quote, unquote, open to interpretation. So I'm wondering about how people can give their input to them. And I also think, to add my personal opinion, my humble opinion, that probably one really good way to integrate the listeners into Pacifica is to integrate them into the bylaws. What do you think?
Hi, this is Carol. From my study of this issue since the KPFA armed occupation in 1999, I've been convinced that we had to have listeners with voting rights throughout this organization. So I agree with you there. I think the best preservation of our mission lies in the aggregate of our listeners as a whole. Input into the bylaws, we're debating right now, and I need to get back to the meeting. How to set up that structure is very important to all of us, that our listeners participate in the discussion about how to revise our bylaws and just how to do that in a manageable way in five cities. We're grappling with that. Town hall meetings, on-air discussions, subcommittees in the listening areas that listeners can join. Some combination of all of that we hope to set up. Rush, I want to talk about the timeline. We're under a legal deadline, which rushes this project faster than any of us really would like. But I would also like to see an elected accountable board as soon as possible. The fact that I'm on this interim board is because I filed a lawsuit and some judge said I could be on it. It's not because you elected me, and I think we need to get to a representative system as soon as we can. So there are competing values here.
Carol, as board secretary, will you hereby take the pledge that you will keep the Pacifica website updated with the latest proposals, the latest developments, clearly, etc., because, as I said earlier, as one of the people who started and still maintains the SavePacifica.net website, I know people, hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people have visited the website since it began, and we get a tremendous amount of inquiry and traffic. It's a major job to maintain it, but it seems to me that in this day and age, granted that not everybody's on the web and it discriminates economically and etc., but still, in this day and age, that's a way to get information out, and I really hope that you as board secretary will insist on a well-maintained and accurate website with all the proposals and all the bylaws possibilities updated as frequently as possible.
Right. I expect to actually chair the bylaws committee and also as secretary. We had difficulty with the maintenance of the web page as we inherited the foundation. We just got a wonderful volunteer who's very qualified, who is going to be maintaining our website, and I'm looking for swift improvements.
Carol, I promised I'd let you go, and we're going to do that. You have to go back over to the meeting. We'll continue to take these calls here.
Thank you very much
for being with us. Carol Spooner, Secretary of the Interim Pacifica National Board. You will now be talking here just to me until 10 o'clock West Coast time, 1 o'clock East Coast. We'll be joined by Dan Coughlin and Verna Avery Brown. But as I said, tape is being made of this and will be given to all the board members, including Carol Spooner. Our next caller is Patty from New York. Is that Patty Heffley?
Yes, it is.
Good afternoon, Patty.
Good afternoon. Thank you. I just wanted to say this is just so important to have these meetings on the radio. They're not boring. Maybe because people have been involved, but just to hear the process on the air is so educational to the people that haven't ever got to even know what's happening. And I think, though, not only these meetings for bylaws and these things should not only be a national discussion like in town hall meetings, but it should be on the air just as these things are. And there's the listeners' participation in this comes through these groups yesterday that you heard writing bylaw proposals. And also there's a group, there's a website, PacificaMatters.net, which is a group, a culture for democracy, which has a proposal for a national simulcast discussion of governing Pacifica ourselves. And we're hoping that the board will consider these kind of ideas, too, because it is prejudicial to just have all the information on the Internet when we're sitting with five stations across the country that are for us to do as we like, even though the local areas mandate their airtime. There has to be some process that allows these must carry or somehow that these conversations go on the air, because as we know, it's very difficult. Many programmers don't want to give up time for these discussions to happen, and I just think that one of the most important things that has to happen is like open the airways. They're ours.
Thank you, Patty. We're going to pass that on along with everything else and all the thoughts on this tape. We're going to go to Florence, who's calling from Vallejo, California. Good morning, Florence.
Good morning. I had a question about a statement I heard from James Ferguson back on February 5th, and I wondered whether those settlements and perhaps the bylaws will insulate us against his threat to go after our FCC license. He made a statement something like, this is not a charity. I'm not sure the exact word, it's a business. And he wasn't happy of it with the settlement as it was crafted.
I'm certainly not an FCC lawyer, although I've known plenty of them in my life. Going after the license of a broadcast radio station in this country for whatever reason is extremely difficult. One of the reasons, however, that the FCC has traditionally looked unfavorably at licensees is because of fiscal irresponsibility. And one of the dangers, and I'm not giving away any secrets here, because on KPFA, where I've been on the air, you know, with this Sunday program since August of 1999, I've talked about this a number of times with people and mentioned it as a real element in this, that one of the strategies of the old Pacifica board may well have been to try to bankrupt this organization, then declare bankruptcy, and then say, see, they can't run this place. They don't deserve these licenses. Let's open them up. Now, of course, once you open up licenses and you lose a license, it's just as possible that Rupert Murdoch or Pat Robertson will get it as a Clear Channel or anybody else. But it's damn certain that a community group and organization dedicated to free speech and social justice doesn't have much of a chance. So it's important, I think, for us to show that we are not going to be bankrupt and that we do have the financial resources, as we've proved magnificently over the past few weeks in the tremendous record-setting fund drives here in Los Angeles and in New York and in KPFA in Northern California, that the listeners are on our side and we are rebuilding this financially as well as otherwise. I don't know exactly what Mr. Ferguson was referring to. I understand that some members of the now minority faction on the national board are still talking about selling either KPFA and or WBAI, which are on the commercial band and are worth $200 or $300 million, and was another sub rosa element lurking through all of this throughout. So be assured that I think the present people in charge of Pacifica are well aware of this potential threat and will deal with it as best they can, and I think they'll deal with it really well. Joe in Santa Barbara, California is our next caller. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Larry.
Yes, sir.
I was very upset over this last period of time about the quarrel between, you know, KPFK and Pacifica, and somebody should write a book when peaceniks quarrel. Anyway, to step back for a moment, I wonder it would help, you know, in future planning, to look, if you could help us look at the big picture, a la a voter, you know, these voter information booklets that present, you know, both sides of a proposition. Could you take a few minutes and just state the points, the good points that the other group wanted? Because, you know, Mark Cooper and Saul Landau, I think, were on their side. They're not evil idiots. Could you give us a little view of, honest view of their viewpoint, please?
I'll tell you, I can't, and I don't want to take the time to do so now because it's not fair of me to do so, but I will refer listeners again to the SavePacifica.net website, and on the right-hand column there you will see Saul Landau's farewell and a reply from Edward Herman, who's also familiar to many of our listeners. You're right. There is a vigorous discussion and debate that's gone on, and one of the things that's most upsetting about this is that in the course of being Free Speech Radio, we were cut off from having that discussion and debate. I offered the management, previous management of KPFK, as somebody who'd been on this station for many years and had a daily program for 2 years and a weekly program back in 1999 at this time, to go on the air and debate and discuss with anybody any of this. And previous management saying was, oh, it'll be too upsetting to the listeners. It'll hurt our fund drive. We don't want to confuse them with all of this. And still they went on with their own interpretation of it. That's not free speech. That's not debate and discussion. The two leading, and it wasn't, I don't know enough about a Southern California point of view, but the national point of view that was brought in by Mary Frances Berry and Lynn Chadwick and before Pat Scott and Bessie Walsh and all of those people is that they were doing what they were doing in the name of increasing audience and increasing diversity inside and outside Pacifica. The funny thing is that nobody's opposed to either of those things. In fact, all of us, I think, are in favor of them. It's just how you get from here to there, whether it's a top-down process that says, let's fire all white men over 50 and let's smooth out the signal so that all we have is music that everybody will listen to, and let's take the edge off our news and public affairs, and therefore we'll build our audience. To take just one tactic that was used in Houston and Washington, to get from here to there with something like that seemed to an overwhelming percentage of people who thought that to be inconsistent with Pacifica's mission. And if you don't know what Pacifica's mission is, you should again go to the www.pacifica.org website and read Lou Hill's theory of, one of the founders of KPFA and Pacifica, theory of listener-sponsored radio. And read the mission statement, which is only one paragraph long. We have a mission, those of us who broadcast on these stations, and that is to broadcast information in the interest of peace, social justice, and human reconciliation. And not just information, but cultural material such as music, etc., as well. If people are not in consistency with that mission, shouldn't be on these stations. And if they have a different view of how that should be implemented, that should be the subject of free and vigorous open debate. And it hasn't been. Hopefully now it will be. Herb in Cotati, California. By the way, our telephone number is 1-800-958-9008. Toll free nationwide. Excuse me, Liz in San Jose is next. But our telephone number is 1-800-958-9008. Hi, Liz.
Hi, thank you very much for doing this. I'm so thrilled and impressed with the results. I just can hardly stand it. And I was one of the contributors. My question is, where on the priority list is divorcing the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or whoever it was that wrote this silly letter that we weren't doing things right and therefore the National Board could be self-selecting?
That came up yesterday in the course of discussion. I don't know if you were listening. A listener, one of the many, many dozens of listeners who got to address the National Board from the audience brought it up. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting, for those who don't know, is a quasi-public federal entity which distributes money, basically tax dollars, to non-commercial radio and television stations on a formula basis, a formula of how much should go to television, how much should go to radio, and it's also distributed to radio stations on certain criteria as well. We've been receiving this money since 1977, 25 years ago. And I know because I was one of the people who originally voted for taking it when I was station manager at KPFA in the mid-70s. And at that time, when we agreed to take it, those of us who said we should agree to take it said that we would take it only one condition, that there be no strings attached. Now, of course, there have to be qualifications, but the qualifications in those years were minimal. You had to have a certain transmitter power, a certain minimum budget, and a certain minimum number of employees, five. Okay, those were qualifications. They weren't strings. Now, in later years, we're getting all this about who's in your audience, how big is your audience, what do you do with this, what do you do with that, and it became very manipulated. And a lot of people, myself included, said, basta ya, we don't need this money anymore with these strings. The ultimate string, as you say, Liz, was that at the 1999 board meeting, February 1999 in Berkeley, the board members were suddenly presented with an ultimatum the night before the board meeting that the money would disappear if they didn't agree to change their way of selecting national board members. And we've never been clear as to how that opinion was gotten, whether it was correct or not, why it was sprung at the last minute. But in any case, the net effect was to disenfranchise the local advisory boards and allow what later happened to happen with a self-selecting top-down national board to take control and start dismantling the mission-driven organization. We now get, I believe the figure is $1.5 million a year for all the stations in Pacifica from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, about 10% of the national budget. I think our listeners like you and many others, if we went out and said, look, we can't take this money, there are too many strings, these people want to play games with us, a lot of these national broadcasting entities are full of people who are from the Voice of America and the CIA and all kinds of other things. We don't trust them to be around us. We don't want their money. It started to be dirty. I think if we said that to our listeners, we'd be able to make up the 10% in a heartbeat. But I think it's even more important to understand that that's taxpayer dollars. That's our money. And we have a right to it. So there's a tension there, and I think it's going to have to be seen how it works out, but I assure you that I'm not expressing something here that everybody else doesn't know. Everybody else on the Pacifica National Board knows this, and a lot of listeners do as well, and this is something that's going to have to be worked out. So thanks for bringing that up. We're going to go on now to Herb in Cotati, California.
Yes, thanks, Larry. Sure appreciate it. I've been a listener, participant, supporter since the 50s and until the 90s. And one of the things that backed me off was the way they let people go who were volunteers. And since then, I've been reluctant to get re-involved because, for one thing, I don't know what the salaries. Follow the dollar is one of the very important things in a so-called democracy, which is run by the corporations. And unless and until KPFA is transparent in that area, I'm not interested in being in an association which has salaries of over $100,000.
Well, I don't know that anybody. Wait a minute. Let's not exaggerate here. First, I agree with you. I agree with you entirely. I think there should be total transparency, and those who are old enough like you to remember back to when I was manager, we had that. We published all our figures. We published them in the then folio. I wasn't especially proud of making. I wasn't especially proud of making $9,600 a year as a station manager, but everybody knew that that's what I made. And even in 1977 dollars, that wasn't a lot. I agree with you. I think there should be total transparency of expenditures and of income, with one small exception. If somebody gives us a substantial gift, like, and for us substantial is $1,000 or $5,000, and doesn't want their name known because they don't want to be bothered by other people seeking money, I think we should honor that in anonymity. But that's a tiny exception. All salaries, as far as I'm concerned, of anybody who works in this organization should be public, as should all expenditures. And a lot of us are trying to express that from the inside, Herb. I hope you'll trust us that we're working on that, and we'll be coming back with it over and over again. I know that the people now who are in power of Pacifica want to do that as well. The problem is reconstructing even what's being paid right now has become impossible because of the lack of past ledgers and debt sheets and all that kind of stuff. Tony in Carson, California, here in Southern California. Hi, Tony. Welcome to Sunday Salon.
Good morning, Larry. I would like to say that some of the things that you already said and say that I support them. I think you are accountable. Either you are hired or elected, and you should not run away from your responsibilities, and you should hire and elect people that do that. I think you should, maybe sounds corny, but you should have like an office pledge. Gag, and you already, I support that, free speech. It's ridiculous. It's an oxymoron, gag rules in a free speech radio. Just to remind you, I'm an engineer, and $5 million, I could convert all of your stations, or almost all of your stations, to solar energy. I don't know, how do you plan to talk about sustainability? And this is a very difficult subject, and most people have a tremendous difficulty understanding. We have 5% of the population. We consume one-third of the resources of the world. That means that we would need six planets to support everybody at the same level that we have here in the United States. It's impossible. It's an impossibility. And as educated people that deal with impossibilities, you should be able to find a lot of inspiration on the subject. And
well, thank you for that, Tony.
Air programs, I support those with absolute transparency, and I worked with companies that, not many, unfortunately, that have open book management in their on their staff and on their board, and everything is disclosed except social and bank numbers, and everything is on the board for discussion. So I support air programs on a weekly basis, that at least 1 hour that say where the money goes, who spends the money, and who does what. So
thank you for that, Tony. We're going to pass that on to the people who are meeting and the board of directors here, the Interim Pacifica National Board of Directors, and I certainly am with you on all of that. John in Bridgeport, Connecticut, is our next caller. Hi, John.
Hi, Larry. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
I just had a hello.
Yeah, we're here.
I heard a. I have a comment regarding the first. You mentioned that the using the internet is discriminatory. Well, I don't own a computer myself, but I do get over to the public libraries, and public libraries everywhere have the internet access, and I think that's a wonderful way to keep people posted on what's going on.
Well, let me mention once again the www.pacifica.org website has now been updated somewhat by the new Pacifica Interim National Board, and we're still maintaining the savepacifica.net website for those who are interested. Charlie in Mountain View is our next caller. The telephone number, 1-800-958-9008. We're live in Los Angeles. This is Sunday Salon. I'm Larry Bensky at the Pacifica National Board Interim Board meeting, And we're taking your opinions, recording them. We'll distribute them to the board members and talk to you about them here on the air. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Larry. I was just wondering when we're going to find out what the top executives of Pacifica, what they're skimming off, I mean, what their salaries are.
What they are now or what they were?
Well, I'd like to find out what the history was. How much were they making during the 90s, during all the ruckus, and what they're making now?
We may never know the first, because when Pacifica left in the middle of the night out of Berkeley, they took a lot of their financial information with them and from here in Los Angeles and moved it to Washington. And I've been told, and I don't know this definitively, so maybe I shouldn't even say it, but it seems as if a lot of material is missing and may never be reconstructible.
Don't people go to jail for that?
That's what I was asking earlier. If you were listening, it seemed to me that there's some possible criminality here, but we have a number of attorneys on the Pacifica board, and certainly we had a lot of attorneys active in these lawsuits, and it's still being looked at, but it doesn't seem as if that's happening right now. As far as what they make in the future, I know we can talk the second hour about this. I'll try to remember to ask Dan Coughlin and Verna Avery Brown when they're here, the interim executive director and the assistant executive director, but I know they all took pay cuts. Dan took a 25% pay cut from what the previous person was making. The rest of them took 10%. A lot of people have been furloughed. A lot of people took layoffs. We've lost dozens of people inside the organization because we're in desperate financial condition. I agree with you. The key in the future is transparency, and I will continue to advocate for that, and I'll bring it up when they get here. Monroe in Manhattan. Yeah, oh, sure, go ahead, Charlie.
Go ahead. I was just wondering when... do you see at all Pacifica rejecting Corporation for Public Broadcast money?
Well, I also talked about that a few minutes ago. Were you listening?
Yeah, I was listening, but I didn't really get an answer. Are you going to cut them off or aren't you?
Well, I have no power to do that one way or another. It's up for debate and discussion right now, and I really don't know how it's going to turn out. I think the bottom line is if they're going to put all kinds of strings on it and basically enable a lot of horrible things to happen has happened after 1999, why continue to take that money? If, on the other hand, they're going to be fair and equitable about it, why shouldn't we have that money? It's taxpayers' money. You and I pay into it. Shouldn't we have it? So that discussion, I'm sure, will continue. Monroe in Manhattan. Monroe, I don't know what it would be to have a phone-in program without you calling. I missed you all these years, Monroe. How you been?
Larry, I screamed out at the Riverside Church when Lynn Chadwick addressed us and said, what we need is a larger listener base. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can.
All right, because I'm getting an echo. Anyway, she said, we need a larger listener base and we need better programming. The question is, what's going on? Last night, I was atrocified when I heard the treasurer say that what we really need is a senior person, a man or a woman, to come forth and to be the CFO, the treasurer, the accountant, the controller, because, you know, there's so much that has to be done with the funds, and then there was the question, would he still maintain his position? And who has come forth to the Pacifica Foundation of all the retired people in the United States of America who are aware of Pacifica and said to Leslie Kagan, Leslie, I'm free now. I want to go full-time with you. And then the problem is, who can we trust? You know, no one ever talks, virtually no one ever talks about think tanks, whether it's the Hudson think tank or the Hudson Institute or the Riverside Institute or you name it, whatever those names are, or the Trilateral Commission. And
we're not going to have anybody from the Trilateral Commission or the Hudson Institute become controller of Pacifica, Monroe. Let's be real here. What they're talking about and what they passed, the only resolution, thank you for bringing that up because we should tell listeners who weren't listening yesterday, the only resolution that has come to a vote here at this board meeting for the last day and a half was one about whether or not we should seek a volunteer, unpaid controller treasurer, as you mentioned, who would come forth and help us with our finances because we have nobody qualified now on the national board or the local boards, as far as we know, who has the time or the expertise to do this. And one of the ways we got into bad trouble recently has not been not following the figures. So obviously we're looking for some help here. And anybody out there who may have these qualifications, as Monroe said, who is retired, who is trustworthy, and I know there are plenty of trustworthy people who listen to Pacifica, please get in touch with the National Board or Leslie Kagan or anybody, and let's get started on this process of finding someone. The board authorized it yesterday by a 9-1 vote, and we are now, I presume, going to be in the process of seeking such a person. I want to welcome to the microphone here, before we go to our next call, Sam Husseini, who is chair of the Local Advisory Board in Washington, D.C. Sam, it's a great privilege and pleasure to see you here once again.
Wonderful to be here, Larry.
Sam also runs an organization called the Institute for Public Accuracy, which provides to, I don't know how many people around the country, journalists, lists of people who are experts in various fields that we can call upon for, it's basically a Rolodex of the alternative information system if we're a reporter or a talk show host, something like that, so you don't have to, you'll find some new voices, new fresh voices, and I must say I find it an invaluable service, so thank you very much for that, Sam. We were talking earlier about how the local advisory boards like yours in Washington were not just marginalized, but were shoved out of the stations. You have many wonderful people who've served with you on the local advisory board in Washington, D.C. You're here in L.A. now. Is it a brand new day in Washington? What are you facing there?
Well, I think that there are incredible opportunities in Washington. I mean, it's a station with it's the youngest of the Pacifica stations, and it's got a lot of potential of being the nation's capital and being a great bridge between the different ethnic communities in Washington, D.C. and other communities, to being a galvanizing force for information and activists and so on. And that's the vision that the Local Advisory Board has for it, to continue, obviously, the rich cultural tradition that's at the station, and to build on that, to really trying to be getting, you know, there's no local news right now. The lab very much wants there to be local news, to be more and richer public affairs, and to really be a lifeline for different folks in Washington, D.C., and to make it a vibrant force.
I haven't been on the air with any of my programs in Washington since I was fired and banned 4 years ago there, but people will remember that I was on daily with Living Room. I'm sure some people will remember for about 2 years there every day in the afternoon, and I had a lot of listeners and made a lot of good and wonderful friends, and it's great to be heard in Washington again. Sam, had this been a normal Sunday on this program, we would not be focusing on Pacifica, although I've done that a lot over the past 2.5 years of necessity throughout this crisis. But this is a program where we ordinarily deal with what's going on in the world and what we can do about it in the interests of peace and social justice. And I've been just really, every day, wake up and read the newspapers like getting kicked in the stomach or turning on television about what's going on in the Middle East. And I know you, as an Arab-American activist, have been very concerned about this and struck by this, as I have. What's your take on what's happening now? This is just so horrific. I felt as I was coming here today that I really wanted to do a whole hour or 2 hours about this, but I couldn't because we have this special Pacifica thing today and yada, yada, yada. You live with the contradictions of limited time and availability. But I didn't want to let this program go by without listeners thinking that we didn't notice this, and not only notice it, but we're absolutely stricken by it.
Well, I've been stricken by it, and I've been ended up focusing on Pacifica these last several days instead of following the news, because this is what Pacifica is designed and set up to address, that how do we create a more peaceful world through dialogue and not letting the militarists from either side hijack our world, hijack our process, hijack, and they feed off of each other. The Sharons of the world and the Hamases of the world, who immediately lurch towards militaristic solutions. It's not us and them in terms of Arabs and Jews or Arabs and Israelis or the West and Islam. It's us and them, the militarists versus the others. I'm getting news reports now that in refugee camps you have men between the ages of 14 and 40 fleeing the refugee camps, in effect. This is beginning to look like how the Palestinian-Israeli conflict began. And that is as an ethnic cleansing campaign. And the world has to get serious about this. The United States government has refused for all these many months to put international observers in there to try to de-escalate the situation. I think 3 years in the last year vetoed such action at the United Nations. The U.S. is providing the vast majority of the arms for the Israeli military, and this has got to stop. And the United States is... It's not that the United States isn't doing enough for peace. It's the United States government, our government, is facilitating a military onslaught on a largely civilian population, and you do have militaristic fanatics from the Palestinian side as well. And the way to de-escalate that is to get serious about the process of peace. That's what Pacifica is about, the peace and justice mission of Pacifica, which a lot of stations have not lived up to. And that's what we're here, you know, to ensure that that is the process that does happen now.
Sam Husseini. Rob in Springfield, Virginia, thanks for your patience and thanks for joining us on Sunday Salon.
Thanks, Larry. I listened to WPFW in Washington, D.C., and activists like Walter Fauntleroy would never be given a chance to view their opinion on local airways. And I don't always agree with the opinions on WPFW, but it's good to have dialogue from either side so that you can develop your own educated opinion. Without WPFW and Pacifica Radio, basically, you just get government. It would be government-run radio. There would be no other opinion. There would be no dialogue from either side. It would just be one view, and it's dangerous. And I think that the attempt to take over Pacifica was an attempt to cut off more of a leftist view towards the world. Whether, you know, it was a conspiracy or if it was just a coincidence, it's not for me to say, but that's my opinion. And I thank Pacifica and WPFW for bringing alternative views to the world.
I think that there definitely was a concerted effort on the part of people to mainstream the network, to possibly sell some stations, possibly for personal profit. And people and listeners have to be educated about that, and I think that we do need to have a more fuller public affairs in Washington, D.C., so that there can be a serious dialogue between different folks, and that people, you know, it's not just a matter of a few hosts, you know, giving you a left perspective. There have to be processes put in place so that people can come, can, you know, bring their talents, can become volunteers, can start to put together a newscast in the Washington, D.C. area, and so on. So there's a lot of work to be done. And we do have to look back and see how this network was nearly hijacked.
Sam Husseini, thank you very much for joining us, however briefly, here in Los Angeles at the Pacifica Interim National Board meeting. Sam is chair of the local advisory board in Washington. Sam, one of the challenges you're going to be faced with in the next few months, as Carol Spooner and Leslie Kagan were saying earlier, is organizing elections so that you will be possibly reelected and possibly replaced and possibly augmented in your power by people elected from your local signal area. And that's not an easy task, as we know in Northern California, because we've had two of these already. But even a messy democracy, however difficult and arduous it may be, is infinitely preferable to a top-down, self-selecting system, which has got us in the trouble we were in.
Sure, and I'd like to invite people to our next local advisory board meeting. It's this coming Wednesday at the station.
You're back at the station again.
Yes,
hooray.
Yes, finally. We've been prevented from being at the station before, and the past management of the station just really fostered real schism.
Wednesday, 3729 Champlain Street, which I haven't been to in years and look forward to coming back to again, which is in the Adams Morgan section of Washington, D.C.
At 7 o'clock in the evening.
7 o'clock in the evening, 3729 Champlain Street. I know you guys had an open house there a few weeks ago. A lot of people showed up, so there is a new spirit at WPFW as well as elsewhere, and we hope as many people will come to that board meeting this Wednesday at 7.
Thank you, Larry.
You're listening to Sunday Salon. We are broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. today. I'm Larry Bensky. We're going to come back next hour with the Interim Executive Director and the Interim Assistant Executive Director of Pacifica. Talk about a lot of interesting things, including an amazing discovery that they've made about a security firm that was hired to investigate us. We the dissidents gathered dirt on us. Who knows for what purpose? And guess who was supposed to have paid for it? This is Pacifica Radio, broadcasting live from Los Angeles. You're listening to WPFW Washington, KPFK Los Angeles, WBAI in New York, and KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley, and KSCF in Fresno. We'll be right back.
And you're listening. listening to WBAI Pacifica Radio, 99.5 FM, New York.
In the West and 1 p.m. in New York and Washington and the East. Welcome to our second hour of Sunday Salon, Pacifica Radio's weekly look at the world, internal and external. And this week we're looking very internal at ourselves. Inside Pacifica, we're at the interim Pacifica National Board's second public meeting. As Leslie Kagan, the board chair, told us earlier, it's actually the fourth meeting. They've had a few by